For us, the battle for Port Stanley and the retaking of the Falklands began on Friday the 11th of June at Fitzroy, a very English-sounding name in very Scottish-looking countryside. Fitzroy was the headquarters of the 5th Infantry Brigade, the second arm of the British pincer movement that finally took the Argentine garrison. Men were busy digging in, but it was hoped they wouldn't have more than an overnight stay. There was an urgency now to be on the move before the Antarctic winter got any worse. The guns of the Royal Artillery were dug in and camouflaged 3 miles up from Fitzroy at Bluff Cove, and the last of their ammunition was being flown in. The helicopters, the Sea Kings and Wessex are the workhorses of this fighting force. The war could not have been fought without them. The gun crews had already set their sights on Argentine troop positions 6 miles away on Mount Tumbledown, Mount William, Two Sisters, and Mount Sapper, names you have become very familiar with. Saturday the 12th, the men of the 2nd Parachute Battalion didn't have to wait long at Fitzroy, and they were delighted. They were being lifted 5 miles on and up to Wireless Ridge, overlooking the Argentines on Mount Tumbledown and William. But they were to be held in reserve. They'd done their bit at Darwin and Goose Green, and they were to be held back. At least that was the theory of the General Staff. But this was the Paris War, and we knew they were bent on getting to Stanley first. We knew because they told us so.
Fighting through. Just keep on going. There's no stop, no turning back. Just straight through. No, we thought to turn back. Everything is just straight through. Just keep on fighting.
This, in the eyes of most of the blokes here, it's something that has to be done, and it's principle the fact that it ran those eyes to start with, and then they'll try to take it from us, and nobody will stand for that, really.
So you haven't changed your mind at all?
No.
How about you?
No, I really not. Still don't know. I agree with everything he says.
I mean, when we left Blighty over 2 months ago, there was waving flags and everything else, lots of enthusiasm, and, you know, we felt the same way. Are you still feeling as strong about it? Even though you've suffered?
Well, we've got to do, haven't we? You know, we can't just jack halfway. You've got to carry on.
No doubt at all.
No, not at all.
And how about you?
Well, like he says, if you've got to do something, you've got to carry it out all the way through. No, he's jacking halfway through. You've got to see it Stanley. No stopping us now, I don't reckon.
Well, it started off as British soil. Argy's barged in. And we're there to kick him out.
And you're the people to do it?
Well, awesome, some of the rest of them.
Throughout that day, the airlift of men and supplies out of Fitzroy to our front line, the line of final confrontation, continued. There were to be no long route marches, no slow covers and convoys of guns and vehicles. This was the war of the leapfrog, jumping from one attack to the next by courtesy of the Royal Navy helicopters. Sunday the 13th, first light and the first casualties of the first night offensive were flown into the field hospital at Fitzroy. The wounds were almost entirely from artillery shrapnel. The Argentines were hiding behind a constant barrage from their guns set up inside Stanley itself. Guns that, according to reports, were firing from civilian areas, and which if British guns had fired back, would have certainly guaranteed civilian casualties. So for a while, British guns did not fire back, and our front line suffered. It was something the British soldiers would not forgive the Argentines for. Argentine casualties came too, medevaced in by British helicopter pilots who were risking their own lives under fire. An enemy who now shared the same hospital, an enemy given the same chance to live.
The first 2 hours of the battle for Stanley, and already we're getting little bits of information back from the people who are returning from the battlefield. We hear that the 3rd Marine Commandos and the 3rd Paras have taken their objectives after a 7-hour battle. They've taken Mount Longdon and they've taken Two Sisters. They have also taken many casualties. We hear that something like 90 prisoners, Argentine prisoners, are on their way back, being marched back through the snow across the mountains. Among them, we're told, is an artillery major carrying a map showing the positions of some of their major artillery batteries. We've also heard, though we can't be sure yet, because this is just hearsay coming back from the lines, that HMS Glamorgan, a destroyer, has been hit by a land-based missile while she was, this is during the night, while she was on bombardment, naval bombardment of Argentine positions on shore. But we hear that she's managing to steam safely out of the area back to the fleet.
Those prisoners began to arrive at Fitzroy. In that first hour, over 150 were flown in to be put into the sheep pens under guard. And they told the same story. The battle for Stanley was being fought on the mountains surrounding it. And we now had three of them, Mount's two sisters, Harriet and Longdon. British armour began moving to them along the track that is the high road to Stanley, the Scorpions and Scimitars of the Blues and Royals. 6 miles to Sandown, and three more mountains to go. We could just see Stanley in the distance, mostly hidden by tumble-down and sapper, and we could see smoke coming from buildings along the waterfront. And we heard that the British commanders, unwilling to sustain further casualties from the Argentine guns hidden between the houses, had ordered them to be destroyed.
Just see the bomb drop.
We were with the Gurkha Rifles, the men whose legend as hard fighters travelled with them wherever they go. Their second in command was Major Bill Dawson, and on the top of two sisters.
What is happening now is that we are trying to take advantage of that, the fact that the enemy have broken, and we're trying to double up in double quick time. And take out Mount William and bring out some more troops around the side to cut off as many of the enemy as we can before going up into Stanley itself. The details of that are being worked out now. There's a certain amount of confusion as to who does what and how the resources are going to be made available to make certain that this operation can go on. But that is at the moment all I can tell you. That's all I know.
This was not the front line. The front line was just ahead and below us. The attacks had all been planned to take place at night. There was too much open ground between the mountains. Land without cover for British troops to risk daylight offensives. The night attacks were to be the key factor to our success. We stayed with the Gurkha Signals Company on Two Sisters as Argentine shells came in around us. We are on Two Sisters. We were helicoptered in with the Gurkhas this morning. Our job is to wait here with the tactical part of the 1st and the 7th Gurkhas and wait for the Scots to move ahead of us. They are now in the valley, moving up the side of the hill towards Tumbledown, and our job is to wait here and move in after them. Unfortunately, people have been seen on this skyline by the Argentine artillery spotters in Stanley. That's the reason they're shelling here, thinking that we are the main force. And behind us, shelling over our heads, are the British 105s. And all the time, helicopters coming in, dropping in troops. See, come in. That's another one of their guns. All the time, helicopters, Royal Naval and Royal Air Force helicopters are coming in, dropping troops off, even while this artillery is going on. Monday the 14th, after a night of constant artillery exchanges, with the fires in Stanley still burning, and in 12 degrees of frost, British troops patrolled back to us. Scots guards, they said, had taken Tumbledown, and the Gurkhas were advancing on Mount William. Royal Marine Lieutenant David Stewart told us of his part in the fighting.
And then last night, we came up with the company, take this position here. They'd removed themselves from where we initially had contact.
Was that machine gun?
That was a machine gun, yes. They weren't there. The first troop took that, and as we came up that 200 metres, we came under fire from up here and also further down as well. And then we simply came up as a company. Two troops came up here and took the SF positions, machine gun positions, which were up here. We reckon there was about a company, but as we came up to them, they ran out, they bugged out.
What kind of weapons do they have? Is it just machine guns?
Cheap MGs, the same machine guns that we use.
Yeah.
And FNs.
You were under fire on the way up, were you?
Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of fight did they put up?
Initially, heavy fire. And then it appeared that as we put down our fire, and we were using the 66 anti-tank weapon, they began to move back from there. It appeared that they left the diehard chaps up here, and as we got closer to them, they also ran away. In fact, we found no one up here at all. By the time we got here, they'd all gone.
Then, just after 2 o'clock that Monday afternoon, the shelling stopped. We could hear only the occasional small arms fire, and that less and less frequently.
Hello.
The mountains and the valleys between them became silent. And then we thought of a possibility, a rather marvellous possibility. Was there a ceasefire? Could it be a surrender? At 4:05, Major Bill Dawson came out of his tent.
From there, Mike. Gentlemen, I've just heard that the white flag is flying over Stanley.
Hey, 2, a roger out.
Can you tell us what he said, Major?
What he said is that negotiations will start tonight. Although there appears to be a ceasefire at the moment, and the Argentinian forces in the Falklands have appeared to have surrendered, this does not necessarily mean that the forces in the mainland Argentine will necessarily stop fighting. Therefore, we will have normal CAP, that is, air cover, combat air patrols, and we should take the normal precautions against being caught by surprise or whatever. Okay?
Yeah. Is there a white flag flying?
There is a white flag flying over Stanley.
Very marvellous.
Well, that's how we heard the news at 4:05 on Monday, June the 14th, from an officer of the Gurkha Rifles, after what he'd heard over his radio from his own men overlooking Stanley. They're telling him that a white flag is flying over that town. Is this, then, the end to the war?
Bloody marvellous, he said, and that summed it up for us perfectly. The Paras had made it. They were the first into Stanley, just as they said they would, just as everybody, possibly even the general staff, knew they would. They'd come up Wireless Ridge, quickly across the open valley, and up to the race course at the edge of town before anyone could stop them. As long as people talk of the Falklands campaign, they'll talk of the second Paris.